So this morning I want to talk to you about the reading from Isaiah, which is also, as you've heard, extensively quoted in the gospel reading, where it talks about Jesus going through the regions of darkness and Naphtali and Zebulun. And I also want to talk to you about something called gaslighting. This is a term that I looked it up. We've started to use about 2010. I think probably all of us have heard it just a little more frequently recently. So I looked up the meaning of the word gaslighting, and it says manipulating someone so that they make them doubt their own reality. Manipulating someone so they make them doubt their own reality. And I looked up further, and it's from a movie from, there's two versions. One's from 1944 called Gaslight. That's why we have the term. And it comes in the context of this movie. This man is trying to make his wife doubt her sanity. One of the things he does is when lighting was provided by gas, and so he would raise and lower the lights and make her think that she was losing her mind as he did this. So gaslighting. That's why we use it today. One of the things that I've been aware of, I've been trying to read the book of the prophet Isaiah during this during the period of Advent and then Christmas and now into Epiphany. And of course, the other thing that we do, that priests do and other people do as well on a regular basis, is to read the Psalms. And one of the things I've become increasingly aware of is the significance of the word lie. It comes up repeatedly. And it talks about lips which are pure and speak the truth, and lips which are corrupt and speak lies. And we can see this, repeatedly throughout Isaiah. Isaiah's very concerned, if you'll remember, and if anybody remembers the scene where Isaiah is commissioned as a prophet. Yeah, he's in the temple. He views God. He's overwhelmed by God's presence, and what he says in reaction to his own sinfulness is, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And the word lips also means speech. He's saying, my speech is impure, and I live among people whose speech is impure. And by that, he doesn't mean, you know, they swear a lot or something. He's talking about speech which is corrupt and untruthful. So in chapter 36 of Isaiah, and because we're talking about Isaiah right now, there's a real powerful example of what Isaiah and the Psalms are talking about in this respect, about pure speech and corrupt speech. Yeah. So what's happened is this: the Assyrians are invading Israel. They're at the gates of Jerusalem, and they've sent one of their chief officials, a guy who's the cupbearer to the Assyrian emperor, to speak to the people that are lined up on the walls of Jerusalem, and they're about to just flatten Jerusalem, and he sends them to speak to them. You know, if you were going to speak to people when you're engaged in warfare, you would usually use the language of diplomacy, right? Regardless of how bad things are, you'll do that. Language of diplomacy was a language called Aramaic. Not speaking to them in Aramaic, he's speaking to them in Hebrew, speaking to the language that the people can understand, which is kind of not really the rules. It's kind of, you know, diplomat to diplomat, but he's speaking in the language that the common people understand. And he says this to them. He said, God sent me to you to destroy your city. God sent me to you. Because you know all those shrines out in the country that King Hezekiah has destroyed, which were kind of, you know, kind of worshiping God, but also kind of pagan at the same time. And worship was supposed to be centralized at the temple. That's what the book of Deuteronomy said. And that's what they were doing. But he says, oh, no. See, God didn't want that. He said, God is very angry at you for destroying those shrines. And so God has sent me to you. As vengeance against you. And then he goes, yeah, you know, if you guys just surrender to me, tell you what's going to happen. You are going, each man shall sit under his own fig tree. You're going to keep your land. You're going to be able to farm. You're going to be able to live in your ancestral property. It's going to be great until we take you away to completely foreign country. But just forget that I said that part. And then he comes back and again, he says, yeah, you know, and I know you guys are depending on God to rescue you, but I'm going to give you a long list of the countries that we have already occupied and destroyed. And you know what? None of their gods could defend them. So how is your God going to defend you? If their gods couldn't defend them, our gods are obviously more powerful, the Assyrian gods. And so Isaiah makes a very important point throughout his book. And that is, one of the effects of evil is confusion. And the desire of evil is to create confusion. You can see this guy, this Assyrian official, gaslighting the people of Jerusalem, can't you? Which is it? Did God send you, or your God isn't powerful? Which is it? I mean, which is true? You're saying both at the same time. Or if we conquer you, you can stay in your own place, or we're going to take you halfway across the world. Which is it going to be? And so you see the same thing. And we, of course, don't we see this in our own lives, that the devil wants to sow confusion. He wants people to speak disingenuously or dishonestly or in a way that's confusing, and he not to speak the entire truth, and he wants to sow confusion. So here's a good question. What's the right response to being gaslit? Well, maybe there's more than one. But here's King Hezekiah's response to being gaslit. If you get in the picture, this manipulative language, right? What's Hezekiah's response? He says to the people on the wall, he says, don't say anything to them. Don't reply. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you. It should sound familiar, because there's somebody else quite famous in the Bible, who, when he was questioned and his questioners were insincere and they were gaslighting him, also did not reply. That's Jesus, if you remember that. When he was questioned, in the process of being questioned by Pilate, for example, especially see this in the Gospel of John, he speaks up to a point, but when he realizes, or when it's clear that all Pilate is doing is trying to manipulate him in order to antagonize the Jewish authorities. And he has this elaborate, manipulative, cynical kind of game that he's playing. Jesus becomes silent. In fact, Jesus said, when Pilate asks him, what are you here for? Jesus says, and here's the theme of today's readings, in this respect anyway, the theme of Isaiah. He says, I am here to witness to what? Do you remember what he says? I am here to witness to the truth, because he speaks with pure lips. And of course, Pilate responds by saying, because he's too cool to be worried about anything like the truth, he's too sophisticated, doesn't believe in the truth, blah, blah, he goes, oh, and what is truth? He says in this cynical kind of way. So we can see that one of the things that the devil wants to do, go back and read Genesis 3 and what the snake has to say to the woman in terms of gaslighting her. One of the things that the devil wants to do is to confuse us, to manipulate us, so that we're in a state of confusion, so that we kind of lose our sense of what's true and what isn't true. And the Spirit of God helps us, which is God, Jesus, who is truth, helps us to see the truth and to speak the truth clearly. Now, this is my second last Sunday as your interim. It's too bad it has to be from my little den down here. But one of the things that I discovered very quickly at St. George's is the value that the people of St. George's speak. The value that people of St. George's have in speaking the truth. I know that many of you went through this process with Reverend Rector Clara, you know, with Father Brian Way, who's a family therapist. And I know that one of the things people learned was the importance of just saying the way things are and speaking clearly about the way things are, you know, break through confusion and to speak the truth. And that's why you're such a healthy community. It's unusual, you know, it's unusual how healthy you are in that respect. That's because you worked at it, because you broke through confusion and disingenuousness and you know, all that kind of stuff. And you have a real value of speaking the truth. Another example of that is around, and I'm you know, we're headed to the annual meeting, so I'm thinking about this, is around our building. You know, for a long time, those of us who were involved in negotiating the place that we were supposed to be put up with a lot of gaslighting. I have to say it very clearly. We dealt with a lot of gaslighting. And until eventually, what did we do? We all turned into King Hezekiah, right? And went, there is no more to be said here. Sometimes there's no point in even replying. We are just going to bear witness to the truth, which is what we've done. So today we thank God for his word. We thank God for his word that it investigates our human nature so clearly, that it helps us to understand ourselves so clearly and our interactions with each other so clearly. So the movie ends, by the way, with this woman's getting this situation untangled. I think a detective comes in. It's the 1944s. There's always detectives involved, right? A detective comes in and helps her untangle this, so she regains her sanity. The other thing I think of, and then I'll close, I think of the story of the Gordian knot, which some of you will know. You know, Alexander the Great is conquering the known world, comes across this city where they're so proud of this knot that somebody has tied in the past. This is the greatest knot of all time. This knot is so, it's like the Rubik's Cube of the ancient world. This knot is so great and so complicated, and we've worked on it so long that nobody has ever been able to untie this knot. So Alexander the Great goes, fantastic. He says, let me look at this knot. Looks at it, goes, yeah, takes out his sword, and slices the knot in half and says, problem solved. This is like Jesus encountering gaslighting, right? Whether it's the Assyrians, whether it's Pontius Pilate, or whether it's just what we encounter in daily life. Jesus is the truth, speaks the truth, and untangles all these knots by being the truth. Let's just pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, give us pure lips. And thank you for the way that you've been at work in our parish, Lord, untangling knots. And thank you for creating a people who value and love you and the truth that you bring. Just continue to guide us, Lord, through this next year as we welcome our new incumbent, and help us to continue to grow in this wonderful gift that you've given us of knowing and speaking the truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.